Okay. We are going to jump right into it today and continue where we left off. Before I do that, does anyone have any questions today? Okay, so just to remind you where we're headed, I'm going to finish up spreadsheets in the first half of the lecture today. I'm going to talk about graphics, which is our next topic, and then coming up will be database. Those will be all your upcoming assignments, application assignments. After I do that, I will go back and revisit some of the things I didn't quite finish, including communications and some stuff about software, because it's anticipated that there'll be lots of questions about that on the second exam, a lot of terminology and things like that. So some of it's old reading that you did a long time ago, and you'll be seeing questions about that. So I want to finish up some stuff just to make sure I've covered everything that might show up on the exam. After all that's done, that's the next couple weeks, then we are going back to basic. And when we get back to basic, we'll kind of hit the real serious last part of the course, which is the second part of basic, which uses a lot of what we learned already, but it accumulates with new information. So those will be when you'll really want to focus in on what we're doing for sure. Okay. All right, so during spreadsheets, what I did was I had this screen up here that showed some of the terminology that we're going through, and I've been jumping back and forth to using spreadsheets and finally got into somewhat more interesting aspects of spreadsheets. I want to remind you that usually on assignments and on the exams, as far as spreadsheet goes, there's four main areas that you need to know a lot about. One is just simple formula writing. You'll be doing that or have been doing that in your assignment. Another thing is using the built-in functions, including the ones that I've listed here. The first six I've already gone through, but I haven't talked about COUNTIF and IF, so we'll revisit those in a second. That's why I have this highlighted. So regular formula writing, but also using built-in functions, two key areas. And there are two more. One we did at the very end of last time, and that is the difference between absolute and relative cell references and how they affect what happens when you use the copy command. In particular, absolute doesn't change, but relative does change when you copy it, and normally we use relative. I also talked about why you might want to use absolute cell references, circumstances for that. And then the last thing we have to look at is sorting. That also comes up in assignments and on exams, and we'll be talking about that shortly. I did skip a couple areas. I'll just mention them because they were on this list. But we had seen how we did split screens, and I jumped up to copying. But all these other things I've actually been doing is I've been showing you the spreadsheets, including how to enter information into a cell. There's some techniques involved with that. One of the things you might want to know about is as you're entering information, you can keep hitting the tab key when you're done, and that'll actually move to the next cell to the right. Where you could hit the shift, the return key, and that'll actually move you down as you enter things into a cell. You could also hold the shift key, and it does the reverse. So if you hit shift and tab, it'll actually move to the left. Shift and return will actually move you up. So at the same time you're entering something, you can control the next place you're going to be, and that can be rather helpful. We've actually seen me deleting information in the cell because I used the clear command off of the menu, so that's how you clear things. As far as editing what's in the cell, you can click on the cell. You can go up into the entry bar on the top where it actually shows you what's in the cell, and you can change whatever's in there. You can even use things like cut and paste within portions of a cell and move them into another cell by using that through the entry place. We looked at moving information from one place to another. That's when I did cut and paste, and then we did copy. Now, one thing I want to do before I finish up the highlighted topics on the bottom there, including sorting, is talk a little bit about inserting rows and columns. And to go into that, I want to look at one of the spreadsheets that we were using last time. And if you remember, this was the one with baseball. And we saw split screens with this. But I want to show you, if you remember, there were some formulas in here. For example, for hits, it's not a number typed in there. It's the other four types of hits added up. So it said, for example, for this person who's in row 3, Joe, it said F3 plus G3 plus H3 plus I three, which is the next four columns. And there's a formula in there. Likewise, for the batting average, there's also a formula in there, and we actually saw that. So I want to point that out again by switching over the options to look at that. And so if you remember, excuse me, how come I can't see it today? Oh, there it is. Okay. So if you remember, I was going back and forth between showing the results of the formulas, which is normal, or showing what's actually in the cells. And if you remember, for average, there was the appropriate equation. If it's the fifth person, it said, look at what's in E5, which turned out to be the column on hits, and look at what was in D5, which happened to be the columns on at-bats. And it just does that simple division. So there's a very simple use of the average function. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you what happens when you insert and delete information. Now, in particular, notice that in this particular case, which is Jake's information, his cell said E5 and D5 and says, the other one here, which says F5, G5, and H5. So notice those particular things there. Turns out inserting a row or column is really easy. I'll insert a row. You just say insert, and I'll keep it in looking at this, but normally you'd be looking at the answers, not the formulas. And if I say insert row, it moves the information down, as you would expect. Jake went down. But more importantly than that, the computer automatically knew to change the formulas. Jake's formula now says F6, G6, H6, I6. It used to say 5, and it now says 6, which we wanted to do as the average. If I went over to the average, it also would have changed over to the 6. Exactly what we want to do, because Jake moved down to the 6 information. So the point here is that when you insert things, which is a simple concept, it may cause effects throughout the spreadsheet, changing equations, hopefully in the right way. It did not only change Jake's formula, but it changed the two people below Jake. They also got moved into the 7th place and the 8th place. So it may be changing many, many formulas just because you made some room. And that's what you would expect. And if I delete, which I'll do now, if you look at those last three formulas, 6, 7, and 8, if I delete, which is done on a different column here, I've clicked on the row first, by the way. But if I click on the row and I say delete, it moves everything up, but it also changed these three guys' formulas to the right thing. It did the right thing. So normally, when you insert things, it works perfectly fine. And sometimes when you delete things, it works perfectly fine. And other times, it does not. So to demonstrate that, I am going to delete this column, at-bats. And it'll do it. It's very straightforward, just like I deleted the row. And at first glance, looks like it works perfectly. Everything moves over, and at-bats is no longer there. However, elsewhere in the spreadsheet, we have caused an error. If I go and look where the batting average is, that's an error message. It says there's something wrong with the reference, the cell reference. And the reason for that is that it used to say E5 divided by D5. And just for our memory, E5 was where hits was. D5 was where at-bats was, okay? Well, the hits part moved. When you saw me get rid of at-bats, the hits column moved over. It used to be column E, and it became column D. It was able to follow that. It can see that where hits was, it moved over one column, and it changed it to D instead of E, like it used to be. However, this used to say D5, which was where at-bats was, and at-bats didn't move. It's lost. It is gone from the spreadsheet, and it can't fix it. It doesn't know where it went to. It's vanished. And so there's no way of fixing it. Now, it has nothing to do with the idea of at-bats and hits. I'm just using that for an explanation. It has to do with it was referring to a cell that is now gone, and there's no way for it to fix it. It's one thing if a cell moves someplace, in which case it can follow it. It's another thing if it disappears. Now, this part of the spreadsheet and anything based on this part of the spreadsheet would be completely messed up. It would be an error message. Again, I'm showing it as formulas, but if I wasn't showing it as formulas, if I was showing it as the answers, it would not have an answer. It would be showing an error message. So the point is that whereas inserting normally works without causing a problem, it'll change formulas where necessary, deleting can cause huge problems. Sometimes it doesn't. When I deleted the row, there was no problem. But when I deleted the column, there was a huge problem, and that caused this resulting error message. I just put it back by doing undo. So be aware of that. Now, there is a time when inserting could matter and could mess up formulas. So imagine that at the end of one of my columns, I had a formula like sum or average, and I was trying to get some overall statistic about that row and column. And I might say, if I was putting it in this row, which by the way is row 8, I might say that in here I want the average of E3 through E7. And I can just type in that formula. I won't do it now, but I can type in that formula. Well, it turns out that if I do that and I insert a row in the middle, it'll be smart enough to fix the average because I'm affecting something in the middle of the range that it's referring to, and it could realize that and say, well, the range must have got bigger, so I'll just automatically exchange the range inside of the use of the built-in function, or in particular the range, but it might be in a built-in function. But if you insert right before the range, like I wanted to put a person at the very beginning of the list, or right at the end of the range, before the sum or the average or whatever you're using, it might not automatically change the range. And you might think it is, because you're just adding another person there, but because they're not really in the middle of the range, it might not know what to do with that, and by default, it might not change your range, in which case your average and your sum might be incorrect. So just be aware that inserts almost always works, except that special case I just told you. It might not work in that special case. Delete is a lot more problematic. So I spend a little time on those because fundamentally they're easy to do. You click on a row or a column, and you use insert or delete, and it just does it. But there's all these consequences, and you want to be aware of the consequences. All right, so now what we will do is we're going to look at three major areas. We're going to look at sorting, the if and count if functions that I haven't talked about yet. All this is about sorting, and what's known as circular references, which is this very special type of error message. So let's look at sorting first. Sorting is a major concept on computers, and it just simply means organizing information in some order. And it could often be alphabetical order or numeric order. It could be things like chronological order by date or by time. So the other orders are possible, but the two most relevant for us are whether it's alphabetical or numeric. Now, typically on exams, there is questions about sorting under spreadsheets, but there's also questions about sorting when we get the database. The two are fundamentally the same. The terminology is slightly different, but the concepts are the same. And often it's a number of points. Sorting is a relatively easy thing, but if you mess up a few simple things, you can lose a lot of points. So I want to be really clear on this. In spreadsheets, the way you sort, and the first thing you do when you sort, is you have to tell the computer which section of the spreadsheet you are trying to sort. What I did was I selected from Thomas to 109. You could just drag over it. I clicked and then I shift and clicked it in the other corner and it did the whole range. But I'm saying as I sort this information, I want the person's grades to stay with them. I don't want to just sort the names. In a real situation, that would screw up. Everybody would get somebody else's grades if I ordered this alphabetically, for example. So it's very important that you specify all the information that you want to move together. Now, we are going to sort this, and to do it takes just a couple seconds, but I want to say some terminology as I'm doing it. So I've selected it first, and that was the key thing, but now I go to the menu that's on the data menu, and I say sort, and it gives me a little dialog box that's asking me what I'm trying to do. Now, in sorting, there's two major concepts. There's primary and secondary, and the third order key and the fourth order key. There can be more than two, but especially primary and secondary. And then besides that, there's the concept in Excel, they call it ascending and descending. In other software, they may call it increasing and decreasing, so you could see either terminology. But you have to know the distinction between that. Let's say I want to sort this by people's name alphabetically, okay? Well, to do that, all I have to do is, first of all, it doesn't say primary and secondary here, but the top menu here is primary, and the second one is secondary. And we don't need a secondary for this, so let's ignore that for now. I'm just going to set that to none. But for primary, I want to sort by name, so I will say that. And secondly, when you're talking about alphabetical, you're still giving the choice with ascending and descending, which makes sense for numbers. Ascending in numbers means the numbers get bigger, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Descending is the reverse, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But ascending alphabetical means the normal alphabetical order. Descending means the reverse alphabetical order. So we want to sort this, let's say, in normal alphabetical order, so I'm going to say ascending. Again, I talked about it a lot, but all I did was select all of the information, go up here, set the primary to name, because Excel might assume that the column header is the way to refer to it, and sometimes it talks about the actual column letter. It depends on what it could figure out, but here it's assuming, well, name must be what they're using in this column, and so it showed me that on that menu. Sometimes you just see the columns. But at any rate, we want to sort by name in ascending order, and all I have to do is to click. All these things will move around, but in particular, watch people's scores move with them. Like, for example, watch Kathy as Kathy moves to a new place. Her 57 and her scores will go with her. And it's that simple. Again, I talked about it a lot. Straightforward sorting, one time, is not going to matter. What matters, first of all, people get ascending and descending wrong. And I don't know why, but in the middle of the exam, we're not going to tell you which is which. Okay, so be clear on what it means both alphabetically and numerically. But the other thing is that there's also the concept of secondary. In spreadsheets, they call it the primary order key and the secondary order key. In database, it's called primary field and secondary field. But the question is, what is this secondary all about? In this case, it wasn't necessary. But sometimes when you sort, there is a tie in the primary. And so to resolve the ties, wherever they might be, that's when it goes to a secondary key or column or field, and that's how it resolves the section of the tie. It doesn't change the overall order, just if there's a tie, it moves those things around. So in other words, no matter how you sort and how many keys there are, primary, secondary, third, and so on, the primary, once it's all done, if you read down that column, it will be completely sorted from top to finish. That will never change. But if there's a tie, it is resolved from the secondary. So I'm going to sort this, and I'm going to sort this from homework, the homework grades, in particular the largest first, and then the smaller homework grades. And if there's any tie, and there are, several people got 15, several people got 5s, it will resolve who goes first by looking at their exam grade. That's what my goal is. So to do that, now that you know what my goal is, I have to select what I'm trying to sort. Again, I don't put the column header itself in, like the name field. I don't accidentally click that, or that'd be in the middle. I don't go too far down here. I just click from Adam to the bottom grade there, 109. But now I go up to the menu and I say sort. But what I do is I have a primary and secondary this time. This time the primary is homework 1. I want to do reverse order, biggest to smallest, so I say descending. But I do have a secondary here because I know there's ties, and I'll say use that in exam. I didn't say if that was primary or, I mean, ascending or descending, but let's say it's descending, so the biggest exam scores first. That's all I had to do, but I understood what I needed to set for primary and secondary and whether to set it to ascending or descending. Now, when I click this, the claim is, if you look at the homework 1 column, which is the primary, it'll be completely ordered from top to bottom. However, what's the secondary for? The secondary was for to figure out between these 315s, what order did I put them in? Adam, Thomas, Kathy. It's not alphabetical. It's because the 94 is bigger than the 42. In these two 5s, how did it know to put Jim before Betty? Because the 87 was bigger than the 56, because I said that was my secondary. So that's what's going on. It's using the secondary just to resolve those little sections that there's ties in. Okay. Now, one thing will be on your mind is, well, wait a second. For Adam and Thomas, they were still tied even after 2 times, even after the second order key. They had the same homework grade. They had the same exam key. So how did it know to put Adam before Thomas? I didn't specify a third key. If I did, it would have used that. So why did it put Adam before Thomas? And you might be thinking, well, because Adam comes alphabetically before Thomas. But the answer is no, that's not what happened. The only reason Adam is before Thomas right now is because before I sorted this particular time, Adam was already before Thomas. So after, even if it has a tie in the secondary, then what it will do is, if it can't resolve it at that point, it leaves it in the same order it was before the sort, those particular things that are still tied after the primary and the secondary and so on. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's a question that often comes up on the exams, and people get confused by that. So be aware of that. Now, I'll show you the other thing that confuses people, and that is demonstrated in this particular section of the spreadsheet down here. Let's say I want to sort this. And let's say I want to sort this by day of the week. Okay? So that's my goal. So I'm going to go up to the data menu. I happen to know there's no ties. And I'm going to say, sort this by day of the week. Let's do it in the straightforward order, ascending. And I'm going to click OK. And so you should have an idea what's going to happen here when I click this, and that's what happens. Now, some of you would have thought, well, Monday would have been first. No, you're thinking too hard. Okay, it's alphabetical. That's all that's going on. It's FMTHTU. This is another thing that catches people on the exams. They have some order in mind from the real world, and they start doing something more complicated than that the computer just wouldn't do by default. Now, some software, you can specify orders for different things like day of the week if you want to. There's more steps involved than it's possible to do. But by default, this is what Excel is going to do, and you should be aware of that. That's what the exam would be. The same idea is people will ask us in the middle of the exam, what comes first, hot or cold? What comes first, on or off? They'll actually ask that question because they're thinking too hard. Like there's some real meaning into the in the real world, and one of those is supposed to come before the other in talking about it. No, you're thinking too hard. It's just alphabetical. Okay, so if you were to sort on those, it will just do it alphabetically. It has nothing to do with the real world and whether hot comes before cold or whatever. Okay, so just keep that in mind. That's usually where people get sorting wrong on exams. So that finishes up talking about sorting. Now the two concepts we have left are these two built-in functions, if and COUNTIF, and also this error message that's circular reference. Then we'll be done with the regular part of spreadsheets. So let's talk about those two functions that I haven't done yet. Okay. So here we have a little spreadsheet. Three columns, some amount, some fee based on that amount, and some comment about the fee. Now what's interesting here is column C and column D are actually calculated. I'm not going to touch those. But if I go and change the amount, notice different things can happen. For example, for this 44, let's say I type in 110. Now, not only will the fee change, but so will the comment. And I'm not anywhere near those. The fee went to 11. The comment went to regular. So there's something unusual going on here because it's able on its own to change the comment. And it's actually changing how it calculates the fee. So I'll tell you the rule, what's going on here. If the amount is under 50, there's no fee. It's free. It's zero and it's free. If the amount is 50 or over, the fee is 10%, and that's considered to be the regular fee. Okay, so that's 10% of 110. Okay, it's just one-tenth of it. So the question is, well, how is the computer doing that? Sometimes it's doing one thing, sometimes it's doing the other, and you actually know this from programming now because you've done this in TrueBasic. It's deciding between two ways of doing something, and that's done with an if statement. So it turns out, Excel has if statements. Now, there's two columns there, so I moved one out of the way so you won't be focused on it. But we could pick any one of these. Let's pick the first one since we just used that. And this is how an if works inside of Excel. It's a function. It has three parts. There are commas here. So part one, part two, part three. Part one is a condition. Just like in TrueBasic, it can technically compare two equations. You can put equation, relation, equation in here. But often, it's a cell reference versus a value. Doesn't have to be, but that's what we did here. Cell reference versus a value. The other two things are equations. Now, they don't have the equal sign, because the equal sign is already there in the beginning to represent the whole thing as an equation. But if you forget about that for a moment, what I'm saying is you can go to any cell and say equal zero as an equation. You can go to any cell and says equals B3 times 0.1. You're allowed to do that. Those are real valid equations. Now, this is an unusual equation, equals zero. You could just type zero, okay? But that's a perfectly valid equation inside of Excel. Okay, so that is one of the equations. In the real case, both of these could be much more involved equations. It's not like one has to be a constant and one has to be an equation. In this example, that's what's happening, but in general, they both can be complete equations. And this just happens to be a very simple equation, equals zero. So just notice that. So now that you've seen that, it works just like an if statement in TrueBasic. It looks at the condition. It figures out if it's true or false. If it's true, it does the first equation. If it's false, it does the second equation. That's the end of the story. You just have to get the syntax right because it doesn't look exactly like TrueBasic, but the concept's the same. So we see what's going on. It's saying, hey, look at B3, there it is. What's in there, 110. Is 110 less than 50? No, that's false. So it does this one. B3 is 110 times 0.1, that gives you 11. That's why 11 was showing up. Earlier, I forget what it was, 44 or whatever, was saying, is 44 less than 50? True. So the answer was 0. That's all it's doing, is picking one of two ways to solve something based on that condition. Since we've already learned this in True Basic, you should be somewhat comfortable with that. Well, how about the second part? How about when it was picking the word free or regular? Those aren't equations in the normal sense. They're not mathematical. But the idea is exactly the same. I'm going to shrink down column C so we're not looking at it much. So kind of ignore that. But yeah, let's shrink it down all the way. So column C is just missing right now, but it's there. But if you notice column D, same idea. It's still looking at what's in B3. But the answer is just a word, just text. Just in Excel, it's called a label. Okay, and you just have to remember to put the quotes around it. That's the key thing in how it can pick between putting two words into a cell. Okay, is you put the quotes right there as the equation. It's like saying it's equal to 3 with the, you can do that in another cell. You can say equals to 3. It doesn't make any sense to type the equals or the quotes. If you want the word 3 in a normal cell, you would just type 3. Okay, but to do it in the equation, it's important to put those quotes around it. Okay, so that's how it could pick between putting this word or that word in there. So it could do different things in different circumstances. So a little bit more flexible equation than some of the others we saw. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay. So something related to that. That's the if function, but there's also the COUNTIF function. The COUNTIF function kind of combines the idea of using conditions, but to count up something. So here we have a little section of a spreadsheet, has some items, and has some amounts of those items. But there's two interesting calculations at the end. These aren't typed in. The computer is calculating 4 and 2, and it's saying, well, how many of these lines has more than 50 in it? Well, look, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the answer. I didn't type it in. It's calculating that. The other one is, how many lines have capital T, capital V, small s? 1, 2. There's 2. And to show you it's really calculating that, I can change this. I can change one of the TVs to a DVD. As soon as I hit return, watch the lines with TVs calculation, it goes to 1. Okay? Or I can change the 61 to 22. The lines over 50 will now go to 3, because there's only 3. Okay? It's doing that. Something in here is doing that interesting calculation. So what's doing it? Well, it's this calculation called COUNTIF. And we can see that by going and switching over to looking at the formulas and see exactly what's going on here. Let me shrink this down. So there's an example. Now COUNTIF uses two arguments. Notice there's a comma, one comma, where IF had 3 commas. Last time, all the functions we looked at had no commas. There was one argument, a range. In COUNTIF, the first argument is a range. That is, what sections of cells are you looking at? Often a section of a row or a column, but it doesn't have to be limited to that. It could be any rectangular section. So right now, it's looking at these cells. And the second thing is, what is it trying to count up? It's trying to count up things greater than 50. That's what it's doing. Notice the quotes around that. That is an odd thing syntactically, because that's kind of like the condition there. It's a half condition. But if you look back in the if statement, when I did the condition, there was no quotes around it. In the if, you don't put quotes. In the count if, don't ask me why they did this. There's probably a good reason. But in the count if, they make you put the quotes around the half condition. Okay, so that's just a syntax thing. Once you remember those quotes have to be there, fundamentally it's the simple stuff we saw with if statements in the past. A relation and you're comparing it to something. And if you look at the other one, it's saying, hey, look at those other cells, let's say B4 through B8, look at these, and see how many equal exactly capital T, capital V, small s. So it could do equal, it could do unequal to, it could do greater than, less than, greater than, equal to, all those relations that we've seen in the past. Okay, so these two examples should give you a good clue on how to use it in many, many different ways. Okay? Any questions about that? All right, so one last thing. And that is this type of error message you can get. And it's called a circular reference. So let's look at an example of circular reference. It's a very straightforward spreadsheet. Now, there's not much going on here, okay? But I'll tell you, this is some calculations here. Okay, so remember the numbers, 10, 100, 95. Okay? So let me switch over and look at what the calculations are. And right now, there's not an error here. I am going to introduce an error, but there's not an error yet. So it turns out these are two very, these couple of very simple equations here. That 100 was calculated by saying, look at what's in A2, which is 10, and multiply by 10. 10 times 10 is 100. That's why it was showing 100. And this guy was showing 95 because it's saying, hey, look at what's in B3. There it is. That was 100. And subtract 5 from it. That's why it was showing 95. Okay, that's the magic behind the numbers that were just sitting there. Nothing wrong with that. But now there's going to be something wrong. And I'm going to make something wrong by going to this cell, and in this cell, I am going to introduce an error. And what I'm going to, and there's lots of ways I can introduce this error, okay? But one of the things I'm going to say is, that's C4 divided by 1,000. The important thing here is the C4, okay? But what else I do with it isn't so important, but the C4 is very important. So as soon as I do that, it's going to tell me there's an error message. Trying to be helpful. I don't want to read all this. You should normally, I guess. And after that, eventually, it's probably going to show all these arrows on the screen, which I just find annoying, but it's eventually going to do. What it said was, you have a circular reference. And here's what's going on. The computer is trying to figure out what to put in A2. And as part of that, it needs to know what's in C4. So it says, well, what's in C4? When it tries to figure out what's in C4, C4 says, well, among other things, you need to know what's in B3. So it says, all right, let me go look at what's in B3. And B3 says, well, guess what? You need to know what's in A2. So it's now back up to A2, which says, look at C4, which says, look at B3, which says, look at A2. And it's just going around in a big logical circle. It doesn't know where to start. There is no starting number. When there was 10, there was a starting number, okay? But now there's not. They're all referring in a gigantic logical mix-up to each other, and nobody can start. That is what a circular reference is, and that's what it would be saying when you try to do that. Now that's a typical type of circular reference, but there's a very easy way to make a circular reference, and that is, ignore those up there. Let's say that I go into B9, and in B9, I decide to type a formula, and I don't care what it is. It could have A1 in it. That has nothing to do with it. It could have 55 in it. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But this has something to do with it. What happens if I type B9? What happens if I type B9 somewhere in this formula, among all the other things I'm using, or just B9? Well, when I hit return, it's now going to show me those errors on the other one, even though I said not to. But what's really going on is, forget that. Right here is a circular reference. Look where it is. It's in B9. So it's saying, to figure out what's in B9, you better go find out what's in B9. It's a trivial circular reference. It's referring back to itself in a tight little circle. And so that is the typical example of a circular reference. In other words, when you write a formula in the cell, you cannot refer to the cell you're in. You cannot refer to it directly. You cannot refer to a range that it's in. If you put a big range like B1 through B10, that's no good either, because B9 is within that. So it is impossible when you're writing a formula for that formula to refer to itself, because it makes no sense. To figure out how to calculate yourself, you need to know yourself already. That makes no sense. Okay, so that's the most typical example of a circular reference. And to show you where it typically comes up with people, look at this example. Here's an example where I have typed a formula in here to add up all these numbers. Now, we already know enough, and I'll show you it in a second, but in your mind, you should be able to visualize what formula must be in there to calculate the sum of those numbers. Okay, so you could have that visualized. There's two ways of doing it, but imagine it with a built-in function. You can use a built-in function with a range to figure that. So let's see what it is. Now, what did I just do? Okay. So if you look at what's in there, it says sum up everything from D, there's an equal sign, of course, but sum up everything from D3 to D7. Perfectly fine. That's how you normally use sum and average, to sum up things in rows and columns. However, the mistake that some people make is when they type this formula, they say D8. That, and I told it to shut up about circular references, but normally it would tell me there is one. That is a circular reference, because I am in D8. You can't refer to D8 within D8. That's the same problem we just saw. It's a trivial circular reference, but it's a very simple mistake to make that you're putting at the bottom of the column and you include the row you're in. Okay? Don't make that mistake, and if you get circular reference because of it, now you'll know why. Okay? You can't do that. It doesn't make any sense to say the sum is all the numbers added up including itself. That's not the sum. The sum is the other numbers added up. That doesn't include the sum in itself. Okay? You can't do that. It doesn't make any sense. Okay? So, be aware of that problem with circular references. Okay? All right. So that is the highlights of spreadsheets. And we don't want to mess any of these up, so I'll keep them. So that is the main aspects of spreadsheets. Now, it turns out that your assignment has another part to it.